But I'm going to go ahead and get us started again. This is Wish Doctor. I'm down here in Area 51, South Charlotte area, and I've been with F3 for about 3 years myself. This is a kind of weekly podcast that's put together and been hosted by C-SPAN, and just an opportunity to kind of plug in and connect many F3 guys from around the country and to discuss various topics that affect us as men and can have an impact on our communities, our families, and our places of work. And I was asked to be the guest on today, and I'm happy and excited to be able to do that. I've been on a couple times before. I'll just give you a little background on who I am, so you guys know kind of where I'm speaking from. I am a doctor, and my name Wish Doctor came from the fact that I specialize in natural medicine. I'm trained as a naturopathic physician. So in my training, I have the same medical training as an MD in family practice. But instead of focused on treating the disease, the sickness, the illness that's going on in someone, I'm really focused on treating the underlying issues that are causing that. So I'm really working to figure out why, what's going wrong in the body, and then how do we help to fix that? What's missing? What's in the way? What's not allowing our body to heal? And truly ultimately helping improve health in the body, which is going to help to eliminate those symptoms or issues that are going on. And I think we're faced with a significant health crisis in this country. And some of that's because our healthcare system, and I put health in quotes, doesn't have a whole lot to do with health anymore. You know, it really is primarily focused around sickness, illness, and disease. And it's heavily pharmaceutically driven. You know, and I'm not against drugs. There's an absolute time and a place for them, and I'm grateful for the drugs that we have. But I think we also need to be real and recognize that there's no drug in the world that improves health. That's not what they're designed to do. And, you know, they're there to treat a specific symptom, kind of mask something that's going on in the body, help to alleviate pain, or rescue us from an acute situation, or just to simply manage a disease process. But they're not actually improving the health of the person that's taking them. And so, you know, for me, I take it a different approach to people that is really focused on figuring out why they're in the situation they're in, and then what are the things we need to do to help to resolve that. A big part of what I do is education, because I really want to make sure that I'm empowering people and putting you back in the driver's seat of your health, because there's a lot of information out there. Kind of overwhelm of information, and sometimes it is very confusing and contradictory to what should we do, and people end up becoming more frustrated than really finding solutions. So that's kind of the standpoint of where I'm speaking from. I've been practicing as a physician for, I think, going on 15 years now. Been in the Charlotte area for 12 or 13 of those, and my practice is interested in looking at more about what we do and how we do it is Carolinas Natural Health Center, and that's Carolinas with an S, Natural Health, and you can find us on our website that way. And I was, a couple times in the past, I've talked about nutrition and how important that is and key that is to our overall health, and hopefully, you know, we're starting to realize and recognize that as men, that we don't always do the best job in feeding and fueling our bodies. But today I want to talk about gut health and our digestive system, because this is one of those areas that I think is foundational and paramount to our overall health that is unfortunately often being overlooked or mistreated in a way. And so when I talk about kind of your gut health, I want to kind of break down the digestive system a little bit and help to explain some of the key parts of it. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the physiology part of this, but just to give us an overview, you know, our digestive system is primarily there, and the reason we think about it is to kind of digest our food and break it down and absorb nutrients. And, you know, digestion really starts in the mouth. That's where we need to chew our food and break it up. And when we're chewing our food, we're also releasing saliva that has active enzymes that start to improve that or work on that initial digestive process. And this is probably one of the areas I know that most of us, especially as men, tend to not do a great job in. we sit down, or maybe we're standing up or walking while we're eating our food, and take a couple of chews and swallow it down, and probably don't even recognize what we ate. And one of the simplest things you can do to improve digestion is start to chew your food better. And the recommendation is we should chew it 20 to 30 times before swallowing, which if you try that today and the next time you eat, it may seem like a ridiculous amount, but you will also notice that your digestion will improve. And it also forces us to take more time, take more time and not be so stressed out while we're trying to eat and consume things. So that's the first recommendation I'll give you guys today. We swallow food down, it goes down through our esophagus into our stomach, where it's going to spend some time in the stomach. We release stomach acid as well as additional enzymes to break that food down further. And after 2-3 hours in the stomach, it's passed into the small intestine, which is only called small because of the diameter. The length of the small intestine is huge. In fact, it's about 26 feet in length. And then the lining of the small intestine is lined with these little finger-like villi that increase the surface area. So if you were to stretch out your whole small intestine, and the surface area of it would cover more than a tennis court. It's enormous. And in fact, because of that, it's the largest organ in our body. And its primary role is to absorb nutrients. That's its job. And so there's all those precursory things like chewing your food well and having acid in the stomach to break it down sufficiently are key if we want to be able to absorb nutrients well in the small intestine. And then from there, it takes a number of hours to get through the small intestine. Could be 6, 8, 10 hours based on what you're eating and your digestive system. Then it goes into our large intestine, which is large based only on diameter. It's only about 6 feet in length. And that's where we absorb primarily the water from it, and that helps to concentrate the waste into stool, and then it comes out the other end. So that's kind of the short journey through our digestive tract. And in the work I do, your gut is the foundation for the rest of your health. And these are some of the key things I want you guys to understand today. The obvious stuff like I talked about, where we break down the food and absorb nutrients. But some of the things that you may or may not realize happen in the gut. It's where the majority of our immune system is regulated from. And in my practice, I see tons of immune dysfunction. Everything from allergies, eczema, asthma, to the further end of that spectrum of autoimmune disease. And most of the time, this is due to kind of inappropriate immune reactions or response based on what's happening in our gut. Now, you may think, well, I don't have any gut issues, but I deal with allergies or some autoimmune condition. And you don't have to have some obvious digestive issues in order to have some inappropriate immune reactions that are happening in your body. And most of the time, what I've learned is that people have just gotten so used to the stuff they deal with that they have no idea that that's going on. So it's a key thing when people come to me with any kind of immune dysfunction. That's the first place I start to work is in their gut. The second thing that's important to understand what happens from our digestive tract is also where we produce the majority of our neurotransmitters that directly affect our mood, our mental function, our cognition. So I don't know if you guys have ever experienced brain fog, but brain fog is inflammation in your brain. And that's not such a good thing. And the majority of the time, it's coming from what's going on in your gut. So things we're eating that's causing inflammation, that's showing up elsewhere where in our body and interrupting our ability to think clearly through the day and be able to process things as we want to on a daily basis. And then the other component that's really key that happens from the gut, it plugs directly into our whole neuroendocrine system, so our whole hormone system. And this is important. I talk about hormones quite a bit in my practice, and we have over 600 hormones in our body. And they're all interrelated, which means that you start to mess with one, that's going to mess with the next one, it's going to mess with the next one. And too often when I mention hormones, we just think about women. But the truth is, us men have just as many hormones as women do. And when it comes to hormones, it's all about balance in the body. And what's going on in your gut is impacting that. And so a lot of times I'll see men that are struggling with fatigue, energy level, confidence, but you think clearly through the day, and I'll test their testosterone levels, which are pretty low. They may be in the normal range, and your doctor say, oh, you're normal. But normal is anywhere from like 200 to 800 for most labs. And if you're at 250, you're not gonna feel so great, but that's still normal. So we want to do better than normal. We want to figure out where's optimal with that. And part of what's going on in your gut is helping to support healthy hormone levels, including testosterone in the body, to help us continue to operate at the high level that we want to, and to be able to physically be able to do the things that we want to be doing every day. So those are some key things to understand with that. Now let's talk about some of the stuff that gets in the way and then really messes up our digestive system that has a negative impact on us. And the first one I'll talk about is drugs, because there's lots of different drugs out there that can interfere with normal digestion and digestive function. And probably one of the more obvious ones are antibiotics. And antibiotics are at times important and helpful, but what they do is they kill bacteria, and they don't distinguish between good and bad bacteria. And hopefully you've all have heard of the term of probiotics or good bacteria. And we have literally trillions of bacteria that live inside of our gut. In fact, this is kind of a really weird thing to think about, but we have more bacteria that live inside us than we do have human cells in our body. So we're a little more bacteria than we are human. It's kind of a bizarre way to think about it, but it's also this, the reality is we have this beautiful symbiotic relationship with these bacteria, where they can't live without us and we can't live without them. And these bacteria play some important roles in helping to digest our food and play a role in helping to improve nutrient absorption into the body. They also help to regulate our body's immune system, and they also help to produce and make a lot of the neurotransmitters that we need. As well, they can also help to influence our hormonal balance in the body. So all those things I talked about that happen in the gut happen in partnership with these bacteria that are in there. And so don't get freaked out thinking you got a bunch of bugs in you. It's a really good thing that we do, and we want to do the right things to support them. And so when we take an antibiotic, we're really interrupting that and messing that up, because those antibiotics are going to kill the majority of those good, healthy bacteria in our gut. And what tends to happen is that whatever bugs are the most virulent are going to grow back the fastest and fill in that void. And so sometimes they're not the right bugs that can tend to fill that void. And that can start to cause more inflammation in the body, start to cause some immune disruption, start to interrupt our ability to digest our food properly and break things down well. And so it's just something to be aware of with that. I always recommend, if we ever do need antibiotics, that you take a good quality probiotic with it. Just don't take them at the same time of day. Try and separate them by at least 4 hours, and take them for at least 2 weeks to a month beyond the antibiotic, just to help to restore that. I'll share a little personal story with you. My health journey really started some 30 plus years ago. As a teenager, I was taken to a dermatologist for acne, and he put me on antibiotics back then, which is a pretty common treatment 30 some years ago, and it's still a common treatment today. It's kind of surprising how things don't change. And it did help my skin clear up, which I was grateful for as a teenage kid, but it wrecked my gut. And I never actually correlated it. I never realized this until years, not decades later, when I put the pieces together. But it just left me in a place where I was always having digestive pains. I couldn't eat certain foods. I was starting to develop some reflux. I started to develop chronic sinus infections due to the immune dysfunction that I was experiencing. And eventually developed this fungal rash that covered much of my body. And it wasn't until I went to med school, I started to understand this and put the pieces together and started to do what I needed to do to heal myself. But I've shared that story with lots of people, and they've been able to kind of connect some of the dots for themselves as well when they were in antibiotics for some reason or another, and their health started to take a turn for the worse. So you can restore your health, because I'm grateful to report that I have clear skin and a pretty amazing gut these days and don't get sick anymore. And I'm grateful for that. So it's just doing the right things. So antibiotics are a part of that. Another key thing I wanted to talk about in terms of drugs, because I see too many people taking these. They're available over the counter and also by prescription. And these are drugs that are prescribed for acid reflux. And the most common class are proton pump inhibitors, anything from Protonix to Nexium to Acefex, and there's probably a dozen others out there. And like I said, some are available over the counter, and which sometimes makes us think that they're safer. But all of those drugs for reflux are only to be taken for 14 days at a time out of any 1 year. So that's the max amount someone should take them is for 14 days. And they all have a black box warning on them from the FDA. But I find many physicians and patients don't realize that and continue to take them for years. And I've seen people on for over two decades. The reason why they're such an issue is because they're very effective drugs in shutting off the acid production in your stomach. Now, we talked about with your digestion, we need acid in the stomach in order to break down our food and break it down sufficiently. And if we don't have the acid, we're now passing that food that's not fully digested or broken down into the small intestine where we can't absorb the nutrients correctly. And if we can't do that, we start to have malabsorption issues and nutrient deficiencies that can lead to everything from heart arrhythmias to osteoporosis and bone loss to poor memory to muscle weakness and just generalized fatigue and low hormone balance in the body. So there's lots of things that can come as a result of that. Plus, the other key role that acid plays in the stomach is it's there to help kill off bacteria. You know, there's bacteria in the food we eat, and we hear about the cases of food poisoning these days. Well, our stomach is designed to help to kill that when we have enough acid there. And we don't, that bacteria can pass into the small intestine where it should not be, and it can start to set up shop and cause other digestive issues, gas, bloating, indigestion, and also be a contributor to reflux as well. So we want to make sure we have enough acid in the stomach. And this is one of those things that people often struggle with when they have acid reflux, because they feel this acid and this burning that's going on, and they want relief. And those medications will give you relief because they're good at shutting off the acid so you don't feel it. But the way the stomach works, there's a sphincter at the top of the stomach. And that sphincter closes and stays closed in response to acid. So when the acid level gets high enough, that sphincter will close and stay closed. And if we don't have enough acid, that sphincter stays open, which is what's causing the reflux. It's allowing the stomach acid to reflux back up into the esophagus and irritate that tissue in the lower esophagus and cause that pain, that burning, that discomfort that people are experiencing. And like I said, the medications do give you relief because you don't feel it. But what's happening is you're still having reflux because that sphincter is staying open. And that's really a problem long term. That's why they're not to be taken for more than 14 days, because long term usage of them, what we've actually seen is that increase the rates of esophageal cancer, which is the whole reason why they're prescribed in the first place. So they're not helping to treat the problem. But now we have cases where people are developing more esophageal cancer and Barrett's esophagitis, just inflammation in that lower esophagus, because they've been taking these medications and the sphincter isn't functioning properly. So just a couple key classes of drugs I want to touch on that can really have a negative impact on that. The other thing too that can mess up our gut and that bacterial balance, and this was mentioned in the Twitter post, is tap water. You know, most of us, if we're consuming tap water, it's city water, which has been treated with chlorine. And what do we know about chlorine? Why do we use it in our swimming pools? Well, it's to kill bacteria. So the same thing happens in our body when we're drinking tap water with chlorine in it. It's killing bacteria in our gut. And it's starting to hamper that process and can interrupt that good balance of healthy bacteria that we truly want to be able to have and maintain to support the rest of our body's health. And that's why, you know, tap water is not the best thing to be drinking. So at least drink some filtered water that takes out the chlorine out of it and some of the other chemicals and impurities. But, you know, there's lots of different ways in which we're exposed to chemicals in our environment, because we live in a pretty toxic world these days. And whether it's from the water we drink or the food we eat or the air we breathe or, you know, the indoor air quality, whether it's in our home or our office where we bring in all kinds of new stuff, all those new things, off-gas chemicals that we then inhale, we're exposed to, and that can start to disrupt our normal immune system, which, again, the majority of that is regulated from our gut and our digestive tract, and we start to see other issues that can show up. Plus different foods that we may be ingesting that contain pesticides and herbicides are also going to start to disrupt normal bacterial balance in our gut and can mess that up. And one topic I won't spend a whole lot of time on, but genetically modified foods or GMOs is something that I have a huge concern about. You know, our bodies have this amazing God-given ability to heal, and the work I do is focused on that. I'm not the healer. I'm just here to help figure out where the problem is and help you get your body back to the place that it can do the healing that it's supposed to do and designed to do. And genetic modification of organisms is a concern because it's a big experiment. You know, something where you start to take the genes from like fish and splice them in the genes of a tomato. That's not supposed to happen in nature. But we do that to try and help either help the plant have a greater shelf life or look prettier or be more immune to certain bugs or pesticides or things like that. But what tends to happen when we ingest those foods is that change in the genes is going to produce new and different proteins that have never existed before in nature. And it's those proteins that freak out our immune system. And so it's going to trigger a whole host of immune reactions. And this is part of the reason why I see so much more immune dysfunction than I ever thought I would in my practice. And it's not just me, it's across the board. We see just a huge rise in allergies, eczema, asthma, and autoimmune diseases. And some of that's just because of our exposure to chemicals in the environment, genetic modification of foods that's producing different proteins and chemicals that our immune system has never seen before and doesn't know what to do or how to handle it. And so it just gets freaked out and starts to overreact, which, you know, that when your immune system is triggered, that's causing a whole cascade of different inflammatory reactions in the body. And the inflammation is going to show up in different areas in your body. Now, it tends to show up in your weak areas. So if you have a bum knee or an injured shoulder, you know, and you know that, hey, sometimes it's a little more sore than others, a little more inflamed than others, part of that's probably because of the things you're exposing yourself to, whether it's foods in your diet or chemicals or toxins in the environment or certain allergens, things like that, that are ramping up your immune system, causing a little more inflammation that's going on in your body. So that's, you know, part of the way that your gut is so important and vital to helping to improve and lower inflammation in your body with that. A couple other areas that I think are helpful for us to talk about. One is food, for sure. And while we're talking about it, you know, the foods that we really want to focus on eating are what I call our whole foods. And I don't mean the grocery store. I refer to whole foods as foods that don't come in a package. They don't have a label on them. You know, they tend to be the things that, you know, fruits and vegetables or lean quality proteins, chicken, fish, meat, things like that, that, you know, aren't processed. And, you know, we want the majority of our diet to be mostly plants. So I don't care what dietary approach you follow, whether it's a vegan diet or a paleo diet or a Whole30 diet or whatever the case might be, you still want to make sure that you're eating mostly plants. So at least half your plate should be covered in fruits and vegetables every time you eat, because that's going to provide the most nutrient-dense foods for you. And then when you're eating animal products, you want to make sure that you're consuming the healthiest, highest quality animal you can get. And from my standpoint, that's going to be your local farmers. You know, trying to shop locally at the farmers markets and places where you know the farmer. They're small farms. They're typically raising these animals way beyond organic standards. And if you're shopping at the grocery store, you know, organic would be the bare minimum that I would recommend or look for animal products with that. And the reason is just to avoid those extra exposure to pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics, hormones that are often used in the raising and production of animals with that. And so, you know, food is important. It does play a huge role in determining your health and your digestion. That's going to affect everything else in our body. And then, you know, sugar is one of the things that was put out there, and it's something that can significantly suppress your immune system. And you may not realize this, but just a little amount, as just a teaspoon of sugar, can suppress your immune system for up to 5 hours. And, you know, most time we're consuming many tablespoons of sugar. I mean, just in a typical can of Coke, you're talking about 40 teaspoons of sugar. You say, well, I don't drink Coke. Well, that's great. But there's sugar hidden in lots of other stuff. And maybe that Gatorade you're drinking or that breakfast bar you're grabbing in the morning to run out the door. There's lots of hidden sugars in so much of our food. It's just something to become aware of when you're buying packaged food. Read the label, read the ingredients. If the ingredient list is too long, don't read it. Just put it back. should be short, should be simple, should be stuff that we identify as food, and we don't want to see a lot of excess sugar being added to things. So just something to be aware of with that as you're making good choices with the food you're feeding yourself and your family, for sure. One other thing I'll talk about when it comes to food is gluten, and this is something that gets a lot of attention. And so for those of you that aren't familiar with gluten, gluten is not a food we often buy, but it's a protein that's found in wheat primarily. It's also found in rye, barley, and spelt. And it's gotten a lot of attention, but it's not always necessarily the problem. There are people that have a severe gluten allergy, and those are people that have a genetic predisposition to something called celiac disease. And then there's lots of people that have gluten sensitivity, where their immune system is being triggered by gluten. And some of this is the gluten itself, where what's happened over the years with wheat and wheat production is we've hybridized it to increase the amount of gluten that's in the wheat itself. And then the second thing that's happened is that we've processed wheat differently. We're going to start a process of deamidization that breaks it down and produces new and different proteins that have never existed before in nature. And that can be a problem with our immune system. And then the other thing too is that wheat has to be dried in the field before it can be harvested. Otherwise it'll rot or spoil. And these days farmers don't wait for it to dry. They spray it with Roundup, which will dry it quicker. But you end up with this glycophosphate, which is a toxic chemical in our wheat that triggers our immune system. And that is also another part of why people are more sensitive to it these days, because we have other chemicals that are causing these reactions by our body's immune system. So just some things to be aware of with it. I know when people have immune dysfunction, especially autoimmune disease, gluten is always a trigger with that.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. Oh, hey. Yeah, I was just going to let you know that I left the package
out. Awesome. Hey, thanks, man. Sorry, guys, had a package delivery. That gluten's always a trigger with that, and it's something to definitely pull out of the diet if people are struggling or dealing with those types of immune dysfunctions. So, and the last thing I want to talk about as I wrap up here is stress. You know, we all deal with stress every single day, and it is by far the biggest obstacle and inhibitor to our health. And stress can disrupt our gut health, because what happens when we're under stress? We produce another hormone in our body called cortisol that's put up by our adrenal glands. And cortisol is there to help us survive and do well when we're really under times of stress. And years ago, that meant we either had to fight or run. You know, these days we don't do that. We tend to eat or sit in our car. But our body responds physiologically in the same way. And so what happens in that instant is our body's going to start to divert blood flow away from our gut and our digestive system to our extremities, to our muscles, so we can literally fight or run. It also pulls blood away from our brain, so we can't think as clearly, but we can just act on impulse. And so we tend not to digest our food very well. You know, so when we're trying to stuff our face and we got a few minutes before our next meeting and we're dealing with a stressful day, our digestive system is pretty much shut down. We're not able to produce enough acid in the stomach. We're not able to get enough blood flow there to get the nutrients into the body where it's supposed to go. And it's having a negative impact on what's happening. And so it's something to be really mindful of. I always recommend that you know, we try and be mindful eaters. And what I mean by that is take the time, you know, to just sit and focus on what you're eating. Actually taste it. Chew your food well. Enjoy it for what it is. Take a few moments, put your fork down in between bites, you know, look up at the people around you, engage in conversation, but to be more mindful of what we're doing while we're eating, rather than just throwing it down our throat and moving on to the next thing, because it is such a key part of our overall health and wellness, and your gut is that foundation to everything else. And the work I do with people, that is always the first place I start, pretty much regardless of what they walk in with, because if we don't address the root of what's happening in the body, and we're just treating symptoms. And that's not the real solution or real answer with that. So I'm going to wrap up with that, and I'm happy to open up to any questions you guys have that I may have sparked in these last few minutes I've been talking to you. So thanks for your time and attention. Anybody have any questions for me around gut or gut health I can answer for you?
Hey, this is Denari from Chicago. Thank you very much for your time here. Great conversation. I was wondering if you could provide some examples of supplements or food that kind of act as probiotics and help you out with those types of things, and if there were any recommended fermented foods.
Sure.
Yeah,
great question, Nari. So there's tons of supplements when it comes to probiotics out there, and I'm always a little wary about just saying, oh, just go get a probiotic, because not all of them work well, and they're not all effective. If you're going to hit the health food store, I look for those that are refrigerated. They tend to be a little better quality when it comes to probiotics. And then read the label. So, you know, the most common bacteria in our gut are Lactobacillus, Acidophilus, and Bifidobacterium. And those are the two most prevalent bugs in our gut. They make up more than 80% of the bacteria in our digestive system. And that's what most probiotics will be. But of those two, there's hundreds of different specific strains of them. And so what you want to look for on the bottle is next to that, the type of bacteria, for example, Lactobacillus acidophilus, I want to see some letters and numbers, because that's going to indicate that they've identified the specific strain that's in that bottle. And those are the strains that have been more researched. And if they don't identify it, like it just says Lactobacillus acidophilus and no indication afterwards, they really have no idea what strains are using. So just some guides when you're looking at things. In terms of food, so there's what we call prebiotics. And prebiotics are the food source that can help to feed those healthy bacteria in your gut and help to keep them stabilized and help them to kind of set up shop in our gut. And the best source of prebiotics are really the food we eat, and primarily fruits and vegetables. It's the plant fibers that act as the best prebiotic to help to support the healthy bacteria in our gut. So just eating more fruits and vegetables helps to support the growth of healthy bacteria in our gut. And it happens in a short period of time. In fact, there's been some really cool studies that have been done that have looked at just in 24 hours of switching to a more plant-based diet from a more animal-based diet or processed food diet, we see a huge, significant shift in the bacteria in the gut to more of the healthy bacteria that we truly want. In fact, there's another study that was just published late last year that looked at the effects on the gut bacteria of just one fast food meal. So just one of those fast food meals, they saw a huge shift in the bacteria away from the healthy bacteria to more of the problematic bacteria that can often lead towards disease and more inflammation in the body with just one meal. So, you know, again, thinking about the food you're eating plays a huge difference. And as we start to understand more about the gut and the impact in our health, it's so much more vital to focus on that. And then you mentioned fermented foods. So fermented foods are, you know, things like sauerkraut, kimchi, and I mean, you ferment all kinds of different veggies these days. And the fermentation process produces different bacteria and also different yeast strains that can be helpful in the gut to help to support better bacteria balance. But most of the time I find that if people are having some issues, whether it's immune dysfunction or some gut issues, that it's not a therapeutic dose that's going to make a difference, but it can be helpful to support a healthy gut level of bacteria. So great question. Thanks. Other questions?
I don't know if this is a touchy one. The CBD oils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything specific around them?
Or no. I'm sorry?
Anything specific about CBD oil?
Just your opinion.
Gotcha. Yeah, so...
Valuable, invaluable. Go ahead.
Yeah, so CBD is cannabinoids that are found in hemp, also found in marijuana, and they become really popular really quickly. And there's lots of different companies now producing different CBD products, mostly from hemp because it's available in all 50 states. And I've been using CBD for the last handful of years and you know, really learning more about it myself. It's something where we do have cannabinoid receptors in our body. I primarily use it for pain, anxiety, sleep. Sometimes when I have patients I work with cancers. Those are the main areas that I've seen benefit and have used it well with that. And so there's lots of different ways you can use it and uses for it. And honestly, we're all still learning about it. There's been a lot more research recently that has really looked at the whole cannabinoid receptors in our body. Where are they? What do they do? I think as a whole, it's safe. It's something that I don't have any concerns using with both kids and adults. You know, the challenge, I think, is just now because there's so many people manufacturing it. How do you find a reputable company that you know is doing a good job and producing something that's of high quality? And this is something, maybe we'll tackle this in a future call, just around supplements themselves, because the whole supplement industry is self-regulated. And what that means is it's up to the company to determine their own quality and quality controls. And I'm super picky because I use supplements as part of my therapy, and it's got to work. So I'm always looking into where do they source the raw materials from, what kind of testing they put it through, how is it manufactured or processed, what kind of testing do they do on the end product, and then is there research that shows me that it's effective. So that's always kind of the things I'm looking at that are most important. And there's a couple companies I've used with CBDs that I found have been efficacious, but I'm still, you know, doing the research and trying to figure out what's going to be the best place to land with that. So, good question. Other questions you guys have for today? Awesome. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. Sorry, this was probably not the exact format that you guys normally follow. But we flew it without a host today. So I think we did okay. I'm just going to wrap this up in prayer as we move forward and forth into the weekend. Any specific prayer requests for today? I think that has no specifics, so I'm going to head us out here. Dear God, I just thank you for this day that you've given us today, the opportunities that we've had in the mornings to work on our physical bodies, but also exercise our minds and to expand our learning as we do each and every day, and for us to keep an open mind and to realize that everyone you put in our path provides something for us to learn and some opportunity for us to grow personally. Also ask that we can think about our family as we're heading into summertime and summer break and summer vacations, that you can keep us and all of our families safe and well and return us back home from our trips that we may be embarking on in the very near future. Dear Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for us, and ask that you continue to guide us each and every day in the work that we do in our homes, in our communities, and at work. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate your time and attention today. I hope you all have a phenomenal weekend, and we'll see you out there in the gloom. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.